petitioning God, and he's creating other workers. You know, people who can pray as well for the other people. You know, it's not just Hezekiah being the only holy person. He's
right.
bringing people back and constantly reminding them, look, our fathers didn't do this. You know, not just talking about me. You know, I'm the big elephant in the room. We all know about my dad. But a lot of our fathers fell off. You know, the administration as a whole rejected God. That's 52 years. There's no way he had a bunch of people in his cabinet that didn't agree with him. You know, Ahaz. So, it's about a change. You know, we're like the new wave. We're the new generation, and we're going to do differently. And not to speak to what is to come, but a lot of times it starts like that. What they said with Obama, everyone loves being a part of a revolution.
Yeah.
You know, a big part of Obama's election was the enticement of something being done that's never been done before. On your line, it's the same enticement that put Trump in office. Just the idea of being the first ones to do something. Everyone wants to be a part of a revolution. So, to me, I look to in the sense of it's important not to just get caught up in the way, in the frenzy of, you know, all the stuff happening at once and everything, because it can fade. And then what is the generation left with when all that goes away? And you get complacent again.
Celebrating Hezekiah, I think about the courage that it took to do that, because he, like you were saying, well, Ahaz and the king before him, they had these people were still around. And these were the people you were coming into. They had to agree with the king. A lot of people went along with what he said. A lot of people liked it, meaning Ahaz, liked it because he let them do whatever they want to do. And now he's calling them back to a structure and to a protocol and to something that was established before that was not in line with what they had been doing. So whereas they were able to, you know, under Ahab, do whatever they want to do. Nobody was, you know, worship whoever you want to worship. Do whatever you want to do. Nobody was really holding you accountable for that.
Right.
But Hezekiah, to just come in like he did and have the courage to say, no, we're going back to God. And he called the people, called the priests to come back. That's other, like what you were saying. He called them back to what they were supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And had them sanctify themselves and just come back any old kind of way. We're going back to what we're supposed to be. We're going back to doing what we're supposed to be doing. And I think that took a lot of courage.
And it was days that they were there. It was a celebration.
Right.
It wasn't just he opens the doors of the temple and now if you want to, that kind of, no, he had this thing up and puts it in place like it was before. We're going to celebrate. We're going to have these feast days because a point that Brother Joshua brought out is important is the religious aspect of it. Because today, that's something that's being rejected. That's something that's being painted in a negative picture. The religion is not what's wrong. It's not even the traditions that are wrong. People are wrong. People do things that they should not do. A lot of times we look at the law as something to point blame at. You know, we look not to get into this to say one side or the other, but when we look at our laws concerning gun control, is it really that we need, or is it that people need to be controlled? Guns don't need to be controlled. It's people. But if people don't know or people won't act in such a way that they'll act responsibly, then the law is for the lawless. The ones who can do it, the law-abiding citizens, as they always say, that know how to do it, they're going to follow certain protocol and everything. They'll continue to do it. if the law changes or if it stays the same. They'll continue on. The law that's put in place is for those who cannot manage to, who always look for a loophole or some kind of way to do it a different way. When you open that up, like those other kings did, you open it up for the people to go any direction that they want to or they can be led to, then you're going to have chaos like you had in Israel and Judah. Hezekiah comes and changes that and says, just like that was an option for you, I'm not giving you that as an option. I'm showing you once again, this is who we are. This is what we do, and this is how we do it. And there are people, no, we're not going to just have anybody that wants to be a priest to come in and do this. That day is over.
So Hezekiah comes in off of, exactly, amen. Hezekiah comes in off of chapter 28, as we've already, off of the rule of his father Ahaz.
Mm-hmm.
He starts out, faith in action is how I would characterize Hezekiah. When we look in the book of 2 Chronicles, we see that Israel, the family Israel, not just the country Israel, the family Israel, including all 10 tribes up north and the 2 tribes in Judah, Israel is on a downward spiral. And it starts with Saul. And 1st and 2nd Chronicles, they have a very, very little bit to say about Saul. They start off talking about the generations that led up to them having a king, with the patriarchs all the way to the king. And then Saul's like, half a chapter or something like that, a couple of verses, and then right into David. As if the whole purpose of Saul's life was to show you that somebody could do what Saul couldn't do. Isn't that sad? That's the purpose of his life, to show a non-example. And who was the example? Who was being taught this lesson? Israel, the ones who asked for a king. So they got what they asked for, which was Saul. Saul did not measure. Saul was everything that Israel said they were looking for. We have desires that we think are ours, that will fulfill us. Our desires, if we get everything that we look for and ask for and want in our minds and in our plans and in our schemes, if we got it all, because we're human and because we are finite beings, as soon as we get it, we want something else. We want something more. Even if we want more of the same, we cannot be satisfied with what we want, because we don't, as finite beings, have the capacity to know what we ourselves will want tomorrow. Okay? All the way up past Saul and David, we zoom up to Ahaz, verse 28 of 2 Chronicles. That Ahaz ends his reign buried in Jerusalem, but not in the sepulcher of kings. They bury him in the city, but not with the kings. Ahaz was so evil in his rule that it's just not right to bury him with the other. Make him a plot over there. You see what I'm saying? And that was the example that Hezekiah had. And when Hezekiah came into rule in chapter 29, when Hezekiah comes to rule, we see faith in action. He doesn't just have a good idea, but he acts on it. And then everyone under his influence is caused to do that good thing that Hezekiah wants to do. And then in chapter 29, he cleanses the temple physically.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pray. The part that we didn't get to last week in the discussion, but you all read last week coming into tonight. The temple is then cleansed spiritually. Which brings us to chapter 30, where today we open. Hezekiah makes a proclamation. What is his proclamation? Ladies and gentlemen, people of Israel, I proclaim that, go. Who? Whosoever will. Speak up.
They should come and keep the Passover.
We're going to come and keep the Passover. In the book of Numbers, I think it's Numbers 9, maybe Numbers 9, like in the 9th verses to 12 verse, something like that. It talks about the fact that when you have the Passover, it's supposed to be in this month. But if for some reason you can't keep the Passover, you can do it a month later. Hezekiah makes his proclamation, goodness, speaker, and sends it out to who? Who? To everybody. Hezekiah is the king of
Judah.
He sends the proclamation to who? Judah and Israel. He sends it to everybody. Who's the king of Israel at this time? You're absolutely right. There was no king of Israel at this time. Assyria has come in by this time and conquered them. There's no king. There's nobody that Hezekiah has to ask. He's like, listen, guys, the temple's open. All of you come. What's the response of the people?
That was interesting. You guys to persuade them to come to the, you know, they were coming back to the Lord. And, you know, don't be like our fathers. No, we're going to go back to what we're supposed to be and all that. And so they sent this out to all the people, saying, and he was saying in verse 9, if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them who led them captive, so that they shall come again unto this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. So he's persuading them and telling them what's in it for them. And the very next, I'm like,
verse 10.
So the post, or the thing that he wrote, passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even to Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. I'm like, oh my God.
So the ones doing the scorning and mocking, who are they?
Not Judah.
They're not Judah. They're Israel. And the status of Israel is what? They're in captivity. Assyria has them captive. You know how they did back then. Babylon did this. Assyria did the same thing. When we looked at this around, I think this was in Kings when we were looking at this. First or Second Kings. I think it was Second Kings. When Assyria came in, they took out the best and the brightest out of the kingdom and left the poor folks there to tend the vineyards, in quotation marks.
Right.
But that's not all they did. They started sending Assyrians. And then the enemies, the Persians and everything, they started saying, hey, we got some property down in Israel. If you want to go live there, you can go live there. Who remembers what happened when they went there? I'll give you a hint. The vineyards! You remember that? The lions. Lions started appearing in that area. And the people would run out of there. They're like, listen, Assyria. I don't know what y'all trying to do down there. But that ain't no place for us to live. There were still people that went down there and lived there. But the condition in Israel was that they were a conquered people governed by a nation that wasn't even there. It was like way away, far away. So when they got this word from down south with the southern two tribes from King Hezekiah that says, listen, the temple is open. Come on down. Come on down and worship. Remember how your fathers used to worship? Remember back in the, as I let my mind run back. He had a good old revival plan, and the people of Israel laughed Hezekiah and his messengers to scorn. Not just that, but they mocked them too. All right, so I think the message was received, but I don't know if it was received well. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. So diverse, that means different kinds of people from these different places, humbled themselves when they got the message. And they went down to Israel. Yeah. Some of them did it.
New Testament would say certain.
Certain, yeah. So diverse meaning various or different. It means various, but it's the focus of that word is different. So you're not saying, like, of us at the table, most of us that, let's just say, in our family, in my father's house, there are various people there. We're not so diverse as the Nesbitt family as a whole. Because the G Nesbitts and the R Nesbitts are different. But they ain't all that different. The WR Nesbitts, they're different. Not all that. There's a common thread throughout all of us. The Davises, the Stewarts. You find a more diverse, as you go out, you find a more diverse population that you talk. Now add in the Colemans from up in D.C. The Colemans, the Johnsons, the Stewarts. Now we're talking about a population of diverse people here because as you look through the different families, the people in the groups are not just various as in we vary in our makeup and our beliefs, but then we are diverse because the farther out we go from where we came from or from our nuclear group, the farther out we go, the more different. Diverse focuses on the fact that the group has differences, not just various, where focus on that we have variations. You see what I'm saying? So different kinds of people all throughout Israel in these verses here in those cities. They came down to Jerusalem. It wasn't all of Israel, but those that did come, they came. What happened at the Passover once the folks came down from the different places? Verse 13, you see that we're observing the Passover. Verse 14, they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense they took away, cast them into the brook Kidron. Who remembers the brook Kidron? You remember us talking about this? Yeah. That was back in Kings, wasn't it? You remember, I think it was when we were in the office, and I remember we were talking about things, this was something else. Things ground down, the gold or something was ground down, and they put it in the water so that you drink the water, the stuff is in you. Well, be that as it may, what we see here is that when the people came down for verse 13 there, and there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very good congregation. They rose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense took they away and cast them into the brook Kidron. The Kidron Valley was basically, it says here, a garbage dump where things were dumped and buried. Why would they do that? Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month, and the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves, and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. Now, the priests and the Levites are ashamed. What do you think they were ashamed of?
I was thinking maybe the state of the people.
Is that what you said, the state of the people? Okay.
Maybe they, maybe some of them had not purified themselves and not had done what they had gone through the rituals and things they were supposed to do. And so they were ashamed. An interesting thing to me is that everybody that came, everybody hadn't done everything that they needed to do.
Exactly.
And, but these were not things that they were doing or used to doing, so this is like new. And Hezekiah prayed for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're not just, at that
point. Oh, okay.
That's what we're leading to. So they were ashamed because much of the people that came down, and even some of the people, well, they named a few of the towns, they did not sanctify themselves as the Bible had prescribed. Not only that, some of the people started participating in feast stuff without sanctifying themselves. And when we get to verse 18. Let's do 17, and we'll go there from there quick. For there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. This is verse 17. Therefore, the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passover for one that was not clean, to sanctify them unto the Lord. So not that the Levites were killing the people that were unclean. No, they were killing the stuff, like the kids, the goat or the sheep or the bull or whatever for the people. Exactly. That were not clean, to sanctify them. For a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh and Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. So they did the Passover stuff without being clean to do it. The Bible strictly forbids that. But, there's that word. What does the word but do? Exactly. It acknowledges what came before, but it says it doesn't count. It's the difference of and. And is a union. It brings the two together. But contrasts the two. It says you can have one, but you can't have both. And they both have the equal preeminence. So it says here, but Hezekiah prayed for them. Who is them?
The people.
People that weren't clean. Prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God. The Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary.